Gabe from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds. It's the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
I'm your other co-host, Darren Patterson.
And we are here to talk about the episode from December 1st, 2018, Season 44, Episode 7, Claire Foy hosting.
Claire Foy hoist.
She hoisted, and she helped out on the crew, and then they were like, "No, that's a union violation. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You really should just host and stop hoisting."
Yes, those union laws, man, they don't mess around.
And also Anderson .Paak musical guesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to talk all about this.
Yeah, not a bad show. Not a bad show.
Yeah, you thought so?
I thought it was all right.
All right,
not too shabby.
All right,
did all right, did okay.
So let's see. We got the cold open.
Cold open, and guess who's back?
Guess who's back?
Back again. Baldwin's back.
Tell a friend. we had Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump making his grand return. I think this was only like what, his second appearance this season?
Yeah, he's really been pulling back. But then again, he said he would
he's tapered off. Because I mean, who expected the Trump thing to go on this long?
Yeah, I think we all thought when this thing started, like, oh, it'll be a fun little thing, but now
it was gonna be a fun little stunt casting for the end of the campaign,
and then just
when he thought he was out, they pull him back in.
The joke has gone too far.
Yes, in so many, many, many ways. So we had
Mr. Bithers.
Yeah.
Mr. Burns. Bithers, what the?
Oh, God, we're mispronouncing everything today.
What is wrong with us?
Hoisting and Bithers. Bithers and Nithers and, yeah.
We'll get this right, people. Don't worry.
All right, yeah.
We're just dusting off the cobwebs.
You know, when we stop doing these test shows and start doing this show for real, it's going to be so good.
Yeah, the first like five or so shows, that's just to get us warmed up, get us loose.
We have done at least 8 shows.
What? Wow. This is news to me.
Yeah, yeah. thanks for keeping up.
Yeah, no problem.
So anyway, the cold open, we had Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump, not
right.
Donald Trump as Alec Baldwin, which might also
would be
interesting to see.
That would be weird.
We had Cecily Strong as Melania.
Right.
They're in Argentina for the G20 summit. We had Kate McKinnon as Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, yeah. I like the way she's playing this Giuliani character, like a Nosferatu.
Yeah, yeah. She had her hands sort of clenched up on around her torso.
Right.
And then she spread her arms out, and she has bat wings, and she was saying, like, I have to do this all before sunrise.
Yes, I got a kick out of that.
That was... I also like... It's apparently a running gag now. They have Kate McKinnon just playing every man in the Trump administration.
Yeah, I mean, she can't do Sessions anymore, so it's like, all right, now you could be Giuliani.
I think, at least the third man she's played in the Trump administration.
Giuliani, Sessions, and who else? I know McCarthy played
Spicer. She's played Leslie Graham, right?
Oh!
He's not officially in the Trump administration, but...
Yeah, but he's complicit.
She's playing a lot of men these days, is my basic point.
Yeah, I'm for it. I dig it.
Yeah, I mean she always hits it out of the park. It's fun, and I think at this point it's just basically trolling Trump, because they know that having women play men in his administration really pisses him off.
Yeah.
Because he got really wound up when Melissa McCarthy was playing
Spicer.
Yeah, Sean Spicer.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I dig it. I like this. I look forward to more of a Nosferatu Giuliani.
I don't know if Trump's... He hasn't really gone off on a Twitter rant about SNL lately, has he?
Who knows how his mind works? It's
I mean, there's so many other things he goes on Twitter rants about. So
he's just a insane Twitter man.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it weird?
That's my improv skills kicking in, people.
Isn't it weird that, like, the phrase "the president tweeted" has been normalized now?
Yeah,
that's not that was an unusual thing like 3 years ago.
It really was. It was just like, now it's just like, oh yeah, he tweets and he lies.
Because Obama, he had the White House Twitter account, but they used it kind of sparingly, I think.
And now this is like his like fireside chats. He just like spews out insane insanity every minute of the day.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's just insanity is like normal and whatnot.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
It's really turned into like NPR.
It really, really did. Quick. It really did.
It's like us liberal cucktards and whatnot.
So back to the sketch. We had Rudy as a vampire. We had Ben Stiller returning as Michael Cohen.
Yeah, he kind of looks like him now, more and more now that I see
I guess so, yeah. They're slowly morphing into each other.
There's a resemblance.
There was a line I really liked where Trump says to Cohen, you were like a son to me. And he says, well, why'd you make me do all so much illegal stuff? And he says, well, that's what I asked my sons to do.
Cause you're like a son to me.
Yeah. And we had Beck Bennett returning as Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, he has to be shirtless.
I get a kick out of that. I get a kick out of how their Putin is always shirtless.
Yes, it's always shirtless. I mean,
it's stupid, but I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And
Fred Armisen
is the Saudi crown prince.
Right. They're doing like high fives. It was a little weird for them to make the jokes about like murdered journalists and stuff, but I was like, oh. It's a little close to the bone, but well, I mean, I don't think they leaned into it that much, though.
Yeah, more. I mean, that's the insane world we're living in now.
Yes, absolutely.
It's they did their secret handshake thing, and then the whole group did a "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina."
Yeah,
which was cute. It was a funny sketch.
Yeah, I liked it. I also liked. Oh, there was one line where Alec Baldwin as Trump is like, oh, I haven't been to this mat since I flipped out over that parking space.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's a little nod. All right.
Well, they had to acknowledge that in some fashion.
Yeah.
So
you gotta.
Yeah. That's so I thought that was a good solid opening to the show.
Yeah, not bad.
They usually go political with the cold opens.
It usually gets a little political.
Usually like the big political stories this week, and God, this was an eventful week.
There's so
for the news.
It's real. I mean, do you feel like inundated with the news? Like the news, like every minute of the day, like something just insane. There's just insanity every week.
It's nonstop insanity, and it's just like. I look back at all the stuff that happened this week, and it's like, how was that just 1 week? There's a sketch towards the end of the show that kind of hits on this feeling of this exhaustion, but we'll get to that before long. So next we have the monologue with Miss Claire Foy from Netflix's The Crown.
The Crown, and she's in First Man with Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling, the other Ryan.
Yeah,
and she's in this girl with this in the spider's web.
I knew the title until you said it.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think the girl in the spider's web.
Yes, like the girl with the dragon tattoo. She plays Elizabeth Salander, who's in the girl with the dragon tattoo in the first one, and now the new movie, Girl Spider Web.
Yes.
her monologue is pretty simple. It's just like her talking and telling jokes.
Well, that's a monologue.
Well, yeah, I know that, but like, no, see, that's the thing, because like usually with all
her monologue is pretty simple. It's just her standing there and telling jokes.
What's that about?
That you basically just define that portion of the show. Yeah,
but the thing is, like, I'm used to monologues like something happened, like a celebrity coming out or like a song and a dance.
Yeah.
So like now when it's just a monologue, it's just there telling jokes.
Did you feel let down?
Not really. I just saw like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of short by the SNL monologue standards.
Yeah, very much so.
She talked about how, you know, she's from England and they're dealing with Brexit right now, and she said it's a relief to be in a country that's more chaotic than Britain, which
I mean it's not
untrue.
Where's the lie?
It stings because it's true.
Yes, just buckle in, people. It's just madcap insanity left and right.
And she talked about, because she plays Queen Elizabeth II on The Crown.
Right.
She talked about she's constantly asked if she's ever met Queen Elizabeth, and she has.
Right.
But Queen Elizabeth didn't ask her or mention anything about The Crown because it was like years before she did The Crown.
Exactly.
Ha ha.
Get it?
That was her little story.
Hilarious.
That's
what I mean. Like,
that was pretty much it.
It was like more like I'm so used to monologues being like, you know, celebrities coming up and like being more of a big deal.
Or
like,
we're going to do a song and dance number and go around the studio.
Yeah, exactly.
Have like, cast members come on and interact with the host or questions from the audience.
Exactly. Like it'd be like if you're watching the Super Bowl and the halftime show was literally just a musician playing a guitar. And then that was it. And you're like, well, where's the fireworks and crazy pyrotechnics?
And the left shark and...
Yes, and the land shark and, you know, like Bruce Springsteen sliding into a camera with his crotch and whatnot.
That was weird.
It was.
I remember that. He does a... Bruce Springsteen does a power slide.
Yeah.
And there's a crotch at... Or a crotch. A camera...
There is a crotch. there's a crotch.
There's a camera at, like, stage level. And he literally, like, slides directly into the camera.
Yeah.
And so, your television is filled with Bruce Springsteen's crotch.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you were a man. Like, you talk to the camera guy, like, oh, let me help you out there, brother, or whatever. I imagine.
Why does your Bruce Springsteen talk like Hulk Hogan?
What, you don't hear it?
Let me help you out there, brother. I'm going to do Born in the USA now.
Eat your vegetables, say your prayers, and God bless America. Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Badlands! We are so off the rails.
I know, right? It's great.
So after that monologue, we had an ad for Netflix.
Oh yes, the Netflix
where they were talking about how they have every single show ever, and their goal is infinite scrolling,
endless scroll.
Because we buy everything, and then they show a pitch meeting, and it's like, this is a show about a woman named Carol. We'll buy it,
and he literally throws money at.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's Netflix is growing at an exponential rate,
And it just is hitting on that thing where you when you feel like watching something but you don't know watch and you don't know what you want to watch and you go on Netflix and you're scrolling and there's so many different categories and things and they said they're going to have a thing called infinite scrolling where when you reach the end of their categories they have new shows up you will never ever stop scrolling
and then they have like a shows that where like literally only one person is watching it and they keep going just for that one person
they cut to Kate McKinnon just as the woman watching it
like I love this show
It was a little weird seeing this like literally a day or two after they announced that they've canceled Daredevil
but that was unfortunate timing so maybe they don't have every show.
Yeah, we were just like, oh, what about Daredevil? I know. Damn it.
Because we're geeks. The last season was so good. I'm like, what? I mean, we can nerd out about that all the live long day.
Yeah.
But, it happened.
But it's probably moving over to Disney.
I heard, like, maybe not. So I don't know.
Well, God damn it. Why even go on
maybe,
anymore?
Yeah. let's just not even do this podcast
I'm depressed now.
I'm sorry.
But they also had a couple fake Netflix shows in there, like a show about Queen Elizabeth in high school called Saved by the Crown.
Oh, yeah.
Saved by the Bell.
I'm weighing over my crown.
And the gritty Family Matters reboot, Officer Winslow. So with,
oh, yeah, and he holds a gun to Urkel's head, like, get away from my daughter.
Chris Redd was a pretty good Urkel, I gotta say.
Not too shabby.
He looked the part, and he played it well, and... Yeah.
And it had Leslie Jones in a van getting batteries. And it's just her like driving in a van. And
she's
like, oh, I think I hit that guy.
Leslie Jones just doing a hit and run in the middle of the Netflix commercial. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, we even made the fake movies from Entourage, like Queens Boulevard and Medine.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty good. That was all right.
Then there was Morning Joe.
Morning Joe is our first sketch with this is a recurring bit with Alex Moffat as Joe Scarborough. Mm. And Kate McKinnon as, I guess, his new wife, Mika Brzezinski. Yes.
Hey-o!
And if you haven't seen this sketch, basically the joke is, well, I mean, a while back it was revealed that the co-hosts of the show were dating in real life. So they did a SNL parody thing where their sexual tension is spilling out over the air and they start...
They get, like, really close, like, right in each other's faces.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh, you're a dirty girl. Like, and they're just... And everyone else on the show is creeped out and weirded out. And then
there was a thing where, like, it just got closer and closer to each other's faces. And I think there was one point where, like, Kate McKinnon's mouth was literally over Moffat's nose or something like that. And it was just like, oh.
Yeah. So this is like a recurring bit. They've done it a few times. So he had Mikey Day as Willie Guest. Keenan as Elijah. I didn't get his last name, but apparently he had...
The Elijah?
Yeah, the prophet Elijah.
Wow. They were able to show him on camera?
That's a big get, yes.
Oh, wow.
And
breaking news.
Yeah, so but it, apparently the real life Joe and Mika had their wedding this past weekend and so they were that gave them an opening to do this sketch once again.
Yeah, cuz I think at one point they were like, "Oh, I didn't they talked to Keenan's character and they're like, "Oh, I didn't know you can marry people." And he said, "Well, you know, I am black and my name is Elijah, so, you know,
it's like being a ship captain."
Yeah, I could pretty much do it.
And
Melissa Villaseñor got a character.
Yeah, she was as
Alexandria or Ocasio
Cortez.
Ocasio Cortez.
Yes. Which just newly elected to Congress and she was a bartender in New York.
She was literally a bartender like a year ago, and now she's like part of Congress.
And surprisingly won the primary and then got elected. And yeah, people are freaked out by that because it's a, you know, she's very young by congressional standards. Like she's like 29.
She's
20.
That's pretty young. Yeah.
And
like everybody's like, what's going on here?
She's very progressive. She's very,
yes.
She's, you know, so she's, it'll be interesting to see what she does. And I like the premise that they had with, Melissa's version, which is just, there's like, hey, are you nervous about going to Congress? And she's like, I was a bartender in a Mexican restaurant in New York. This is this Congress will be easy.
This is nothing.
But you're getting death threats and stuff. I've ridden the 6 train. That's a Tuesday in the Bronx.
That's just a New York hello.
That was, yes, that was funny. And let's see. My only other note is partisan politics is our safe word.
I wrote that
word.
That was that safe word. Yeah, like that was, so, that's pretty funny.
That's you know, I don't watch Morning Joe, so I don't. From what I understand, this doesn't have too much of a basis in fact, outside of the fact that the hosts are romantically involved in real life,
right?
Because they don't really get flirty or anything on the air.
Yeah,
I understand they're very professional.
Yeah, of course,
and all that. So they don't actually munch on each other's noses or anything like that.
Unfortunately, not yet.
But I like what they do with these characters, though. It's,
yeah, like
it's
they,
fun.
They kind of just kind of, what you call it, like kind of take like a part of their character and just kind of expand on it a little bit into the fantastical.
They get very sensual.
Yeah.
It's
like just, they don't do that, but you can kind of picture them doing something like that.
There's like a bit of heat there.
You know, in the same way like Rudy Giuliani isn't exactly Nosferatu, but you can.
No, he's a vampire.
Oh, he is.
No, he's totally a vampire.
Oh, well, breaking news.
Yeah,
you don't see him in the
no,
day.
That is totally accurate.
I can see him like hissing at the sunlight at the next.
See, right? next we had, it was a PBS World War One special, The War in Words, which was Letters from the Trenches. It was a Civil War Ken Burns type of thing with a soldier in World War One, writing letters back home to his beloved.
Yeah.
And getting very strange answers in response.
Right. At first, it's very short, where it's just, you know, the soldier says, like, you know, long, flowery letters like, oh, my beloved, I long to feel your embrace.
And the war is so hard. And yes. It's so... And then she just writes, Dear James, sounds dreadful. Signed, Margaret.
And that's it. And like, he's like, what?
And then he's like, well, Margaret, you can go into a bit more detail, you know. And this goes on, and he asks her to send a photo. She sends a photo of herself as a child.
Right.
And implies that he's still going to pleasure himself from it.
Diddle himself as
and
it,
he's
as it
like,
were.
Dear Margaret, no one could possibly do that because you are 3 in the photo.
That is disturbing that you think that.
And then as it goes on, he learns like these strange things that are going on in his wife's life. Yeah, that
there's another man in his house.
There's a guy named Henry just living there for some reason.
Wearing his hat.
Wearing his
like,
hat.
Like, why is he wearing my hat?
And then, I really enjoyed the sketch. I thought this was a great one.
I got a kick out of it.
This was sketch of the night for me.
Yeah, and it ends with Elizabeth joining the German army.
And she's referencing her trial, and he never knows like what the trial is about,
like,
what she's accused
about?
Of, or
right.
And yeah, and we actually found out just a little before we started recording. This was a sketch. It was a follow up to a sketch they did on
Martin Short and Maya Rudolph's variety show that came on like a year ago, right?
Yeah, it was like Marty and Maya or Maya and Marty. I forget which one it was.
One of those iterations.
Yeah, and Mikey Day was on that show as well.
Right.
And they did a thing. This time it was in the Civil War, and he's writing home. We watched it like just before we started recording.
Yeah. If you go online, you can find it.
Yeah, and it was very interesting in that, and it was. I didn't like it quite as much as the SNL version, but I thought it was very funny as well.
Yeah, so. I had no idea like it was a continuation of it until you mentioned it. And, I saw that. Oh, that's
me neither.
Cool.
I was reading an article on Splitsider about last night's episode, and they were like, "Oh, this was a follow up to a thing they did on Maya and Marty," and I was like, "Huh?
Wah wah wah!"
And I followed the link, and I was like, "Hey, sure enough, that their story checks out." So that was. That was a great sketch. I really liked that. That was Mikey Day and Claire Foy, as the wife at home.
Yeah, and so, check out the Maya Rudolph Martin Short variety show where you can see the original sketch. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's called Maya and Marty.
Maya and Marty. Okay, so yes. We have the name of the show correct now.
Yes. Boom. We do our work.
That's right. That's right. We are our crack research department, which consists of Darren on his iPhone.
My iPhone 5, yes.
That is our crack research department. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's me on my iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah. We call them interns.
Yes.
Intern!
Yes, sir. Next, there was
Alexa is our intern.
Next, there was a film segment called Dad Christmas.
Yes.
With two kids. We had Claire Foy and...
I believe it was Pete.
Yeah, Pete Davidson.
He always plays like the young.
Yeah, we need somebody to play the kiddos, and they're the it's all about going to your after your parents divorce, you go to your dad's for Christmas on December 26th,
right?
And it's just chaos because there are no rules, and it's this most half-assed Christmas, and he's there with his new
girl who insists you call her by her first name,
right?
To call me Deandre.
Yeah.
And like the dad's place is always in Florida, but nowhere near the beach.
Yes, yeah. And it's and he gives the kid a phone without consulting his ex-wife, and his ex-wife is really pissed about it. And
yeah, and Jimmy Buffett becomes a big part of his life.
Yes, I enjoyed this.
I mean, I don't know if this hit with like a lot of people of divorced parents, but I feel like it must
it, have it hit a little with me, honestly, because my. A little bit of my backstory. My parents divorced when I was like very young.
Okay.
So most of my childhood memories are not really of my birth parents being together. It was of me like and my sister. We went would go fly and visit my dad.
Okay.
Twice a year. It wasn't in Florida. He moved around a lot. He was sometimes in Arkansas, sometimes in North Carolina. He was in Cincinnati for a while.
Oh wow, traveling.
He moved around a lot. Wow. So
rambling man.
Yeah, for a while it was like we were never going to the same place twice, and we would always. And one of the things we would do, we would see him like once during the summer, and then we would spend the week after Christmas with him. And
were you triggered by this?
So we would fly over on literally on December 26th and stay there through at least New Year's, and then fly back sometime.
Wow.
After so I was
so
like,
you played such games as what's the sleeping situation?
It wasn't as bad as what they depicted on the sketch because my dad. I will say he had his shit together a lot more than the dad.
All right, there you go.
Sketch. But there would be like a new girlfriend who we would call by the first name. And, and so there were things that, for me to identify with.
All right. So, yeah, this hit with a lot of people.
So, yeah. So this is. There were some accuracies in this sketch.
And they sang Dad Christmas to the tune of Last Christmas.
Dad
Christmas.
And. I don't remember getting like anything as extravagant as a phone, but there was probably like a few things like that.
They do from what I understand, like they'll buy something kind of pretty big just to, you know, maybe
because there's a lot of guilt in that situation, and you wanna
like buy something, you know,
nice for the kiddos.
Yeah, here's a pair of expensive sneakers.
Right,
I love you.
Right,
and the tagline is the sad part is he really tried hard. Dad Christmas.
Yes. Yes.
Dad Christmas.
So that was cute.
I got a kick out of that one, yeah.
Let's see. Next we had Anderson, musical guest.
Anderson Paak. Yeah, and Kendrick Lamar came out and had a little cameo. A
little surprise cameo, yeah.
Hey.
A little guest appearance.
Yeah, I dug it. Like, I don't know much about Anderson Paak. I just know, I think I told her in the last podcast, he was on the last... Tribe Called Quest album, which I loved. I thought the last At Tribe album was amazing. It was like so much better than I thought it'd be. But I mean, as far as him as an artist, I know I've heard of him. I know he's appeared in other people's albums. He's appeared on Kendrick Lamar's albums and whatnot. But as far as him himself, I don't know much about him. So I got to learn a little about him through this performance, and he seems like a pretty talented little fella.
He was really, like really upbeat. Had a lot of energy and
very much so. He's like an R&B singer, but he also raps and he plays the drums. So he's like
he literally had the drums front and center.
Yeah,
which you don't usually see that.
No, drums are relegated to the back of the room.
I was trying to think of like, okay, how many drummer frontmen have there been? And I came up with like Phil Collins and Mickey Dolenz, and that's about it.
Mickey Dolenz. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And the dude that did My Sharona or
in The Knack?
The Knack, yeah. Was it My Sharona? It's that song where, yeah, maybe it's My Sharona.
Now I want to watch Reality Bites.
Well, so. we'll save that for later.
Okay.
But yeah, yeah, like a drum set right up front, you rarely see that. The drum like the front is for the beautiful front man.
And it was a drum set that would like put Nick Andopoulos to shame. It was...
Nick Andopoulos?
Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, that took me a minute.
God, I thought you would get that.
I got it. I don't remember their names like off the top of the bat like that, man. I'm sorry. I know Bill Havercheck.
Shaking my head.
I know Bill Havercheck because Havercheck is fun to say.
Okay.
And Neil Schweiber, because Schweiber is fun to say.
Okay.
And
so basically every character's name except Nick Andopoulos.
I don't think a lot of people know Nick Andopoulos off the rip.
Nick Andopoulos.
I don't. Fine. What's
how dare you, sir?
What's Kim's last name?
Kim Kelly.
Damn it!
Because there was an episode. It was literally titled "Kim Kelly is My Friend."
Oh yeah, I guess you're right. All right.
You want to go?
Okay.
Come on. Let's go.
Come at me, bro.
Come at me with the Freaks and Geeks trivia, bro. Come on. Come on, bro.
Guys, you can't see it, but John has his arm stretched out.
My shirt's off now.
His shirt's off.
Like, come on, bro.
What's
come
up?
On.
What's
come
up?
At me. Come
what's up?
On. What's
just,
up?
It's just you and me, bro.
We'll even what's do up? Undeclared after that, bro.
Oh.
That's
oh,
right.
Man.
That's right.
It's getting hot in here.
It's on.
I can't stand the heat.
It is on like Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong. Oh, we have fun here.
We do. So that was Anderson Paak. He made me flashback to Freaks and Geeks.
Yes. It all connects.
Yeah.
It all connects. But yeah, like Anderson Paak, I liked his music. I think it's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
I will check it out in the future. I will check it out immediately.
Thumbs up from Mr. Darren Patterson.
Hooray.
And then,
weekend update. As
okay,
always.
we're at least 5 mispronunciations.
Yeah, this is I don't know what's happening to me.
We're just
Lord. I haven't even drank anything.
I haven't even drank anything.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is it drunk or drunken?
I don't think drinking is a word.
Hulk not good with words.
Okay.
All right, there.
Okay.
Woo boy. All right, so yeah, weekend update.
Weekend update.
It was pretty good. It had Leslie Jones was there, and you know, she's being her Leslie Jonesy self.
Did a little Leslie Jones segment.
About she's like off sex because she's an older woman.
Yeah, because it was a story that stress has negatively affected people's sex lives, and so she was announcing her retirement from sex because she's 51,
right?
And she says nobody wants to have sex with an old broad.
Yeah, I'm surprised anymore. That she put her age out like that. I was like, wow,
she's done that before.
Has
I mean, she was like in her 40s when she started the show. I didn't realize she was 51 already.
Yeah, I mean, no, she looks great, but like that's something that like especially actresses and actors too, they don't put their ages out like that. Maybe male actors.
I think by the time you get into your 40s, you just don't give an F.
I guess so.
You know?
Before, I guess that's it.
I mean, because she didn't break until she was like, in her 40s and got on SNL. So.
Yeah, I mean, she's been doing stand up for a while. I remember actually hearing on Marc Maron like years ago. Like even before, like when she was opening up for Cat Williams, like she was on Marc Maron's like literally like maybe like. I'm gonna say like maybe over 5 years ago or something. It's an old episode. She was on Mark Maron's podcast.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. She talked about how she went to high school with Suge Knight back in the day, and she knew him back in the day. It was an interesting episode.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean she's been doing it for a while, and now she's getting big. And yeah, I guess you're right. I guess once you hit a certain age, you're just like, this is how old I really am. Deal with it. I'm cool with whatever.
So this was. This was like pretty typical for a Leslie Jones segment.
Yeah,
I would
a lot
say,
of energy, a lot of
talking
fire.
About how she's horny and not getting any.
Yeah, and then like I think at one point there were she said like who you know what woman looks good or in her 50s or something like that, and then Michael Che said Halle Berry, and then looked like she was going to attack him, and then she said
He said Jennifer Lopez.
Right. And then she said Judge Judy. I don't think that was planned.
No, it couldn't have been.
He
throws in Judge Judy, and by this point, Leslie is literally trying to attack Michael Che, and Colin Jost is holding her back.
Yeah, but Colin Jost is cracking up. When I saw Jost breaking, I was like, oh, that wasn't planned.
It looked like Jost said, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Or came very close to saying it.
Yeah, that was a real moment.
And then she goes, Lorne, fire him!
That was a real moment. I like
that. That was definitely a real moment.
I always like it when like they slip in like a real moment, like people...
Yeah, that was Michael Che like throwing that Judge Judy in to try and get a rise out of her, and mission accomplished.
Three cheers for Michael Che.
That was
a real moment.
That was a...
And then they brought in another character, Jules, who sees things just a little differently.
Beck Bennett as Jules. Yeah.
I kind of dug this character because like we all have kind of seen a character like that where they're just, you know, oh, I guess I just see things differently. Like, you know, they kind of revel in the fact that they're different than everybody.
Very pretentious.
Yeah, I don't fall into so that society's norms, man. Like, oh, why do we have to use money? What's money? Can't we just pay for things with hugs and kisses?
This character, it honestly didn't work for me.
Really?
No, I did not like. I mean, I get the point of the character. He was supposed to be like an obnoxious guy, but I never made the leap to like finding him funny. I just found him obnoxious, you know.
Oh, okay.
My main takeaway from it was that because Beck Bennett, he had sort of like bleach blonde hair,
right? And I was wearing a scarf indoors,
and I was like looking at him, and I was like, "Wow, with blonde hair, Beck Bennett looks kind of like Jay Moore."
Really?
Yeah, oh wow, that was my big takeaway.
Huh?
So
I'm gonna have to think about
old
that.
SNL cast member Jay Moore.
You never see them in the same place at the same time.
Ooh, maybe we busted this story wide open.
I mean, Beck Bennett does sound like a fake name. It does. Sounds like some Marvel character or something.
It sounds like a name you would come up with off the top of your head. Exactly. My name is Beck Bennett.
He just looked at a bended like Beckham poster and just flipped the words around.
Yes.
Oh, I'm
that's it was like a Usual Suspects thing. He was just making up a bio for Beck Bennett based on things around the room.
He walks out of he walks away from Radio City Music Hall and is like his limp goes away.
Yes.
As the studio.
Chaz Palminteri runs out on the street after him. And
just like that. He's gone.
He's gone. So let's see. Oh, and
that's
and
such a great movie.
And they ended with a serious note, noting the passing of former President George H.W. Bush.
Right.
And they had a quick montage of Dana Carvey as Bush, and then they showed Bush actually making a cameo with Dana Carvey.
Yeah, I remember that. It's always weird when they do that. Like when they have a person doing impressions of somebody, and then they bring on the actual person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know if it always works really. It's always like a weird...
A lot of times it doesn't because, well, usually that person isn't an actor.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's always the same sort of thing. It's like, oh, the real person here is, oh shit, what's going to happen?
Yeah,
and they're going to do a bit. That's what's going
to
happen.
You expect Sarah Palin to beat up Tina Fey? Like, what do you mean? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, although I did hear, like, when Mark Wahlberg came on to...
When Andy Samberg,
yeah, like I really don't think
say hi to your mother for me.
Yeah, like I don't like I. From what I heard, I think Andy Samberg said it like he really wasn't a fan of the impression. Like I think Andy Samberg was worried he might get choked.
He tore Mark Wahlberg a new one with that.
Yeah, because like no one did a Mark Wahlberg impression.
Hey goat, what's up with the goat?
Yeah, because like no one did a Mark.
You're
Wahlberg.
Like a billy goat. What's up with that?
How do your mother be?
Say hi to your mother for me.
Because it's like one of those things that like, we talked about before, where like no one did an impression of Mark Wahlberg until Samberg did it, and now everybody does.
Samberg decoded how to do Mark Wahlberg
exactly, and now everybody does that impression. Yeah. Like, yeah, hey, how's it going? Hey.
How do these monkeys get like this?
Yeah,
that,
like
that
now
was Mark Wahlberg in Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, and now every time I see Mark Wahlberg in movies, like I hear that in my back of my head. He's like, oh, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, what's going on? All right.
Yeah. And we should
just do an entire show as Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I mean,
we're watching SNL.
Yeah.
This is the next sketch.
Cecily Strong is on. She's very good.
Yeah. I like her a lot.
She's very talented.
She's from Chicago. I'm from Boston.
We should do a movie together.
Yeah. Say hi to your mother for me.
So rest in peace to George H.W. Bush.
So that's it was a sincere note.
Whenever they do sincere notes like that, I'm always like,
It weirds me out a little
because it was kind of like the way when after the big election in 2016 and they had Kate McKinnon open with
as Hillary Clinton,
playing Hallelujah, and it was like a sincere moment.
I honestly thought that was a little much.
A little.
Because it was like...
I mean, I understand the feelings behind it, because...
I understood where it was coming from, but I was just like, that's not what I tune into SNL for.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any sort of joke, or there wasn't any sort of turn or twist to it.
It was...
It didn't... Yeah.
It was, I mean,
I don't mind if they do that in the case of a tragedy, like when they had Giuliani and the first responders appear after 9/11. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Or when they had the shooting in Paris, they Cecily Strong and
shooting.
She sang a duet, and I'm blanking on the other. Shasir Zameda.
Oh,
they
yeah.
sang a very nice duet. I think, or maybe I'm conflating two different things.
Oh, wait, no. They sing that duet, To Sir With Love, for, I think, when it was Obama's last day.
I think you're right. I'm conflating two different things.
Yeah, there was a thing where Shasir Zameda and Cecily Strong sang that old 60s song, To Sir With Love, to former President Barack Obama.
Yeah, okay.
And they said like a few jokes at the end.
The sincere moments, they're getting more and more frequent, it seems.
They really are. It's like, I mean, part of me is like, I agree with them because, you know, like I'm more left-leaning and I understand the sentiment, but also it's like, I don't know if this is done in the right way it should be done. Like, I mean, this is like, in essence, it's a comedy show, but at the same time, there is room for, sincere moments in comedy, but
yeah,
you have to do it in a way where it doesn't feel too
contrived,
preachy, pretentious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. It's touch and go.
I'm of two minds about it. I think in this case with Bush, and he passed away on Friday.
It was very early Friday. Yeah, I learned about it literally like yesterday morning. Saturday morning.
Yeah, so it was like Friday going into Saturday. So it was so recent. I don't think there was much they could do, and I don't think anybody was at a point where they were ready to hear jokes about the man dying.
Right.
So I thought what they did was good, and I thought it was also good that they showed that George Bush was a good enough sport to come on.
Yeah, that's true.
And do a film segment with Dana Carvey. And he definitely invited Dana Carvey to the White House.
Ooh.
Because of that impression. And Carvey says that Bush was a very nice guy to him and actually had Dana Carvey like call people into the Oval Office as Bush. And like apparently the voice was so good that it was fooling some people.
Why don't you come on in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, quail. Yeah. And our president was a sense of humor. Who knew?
I know.
Remember that? Remember we had that?
I know. And honestly, like with Bush passing away, it just made me think, like, because he was present when I was in college, and the first election I voted for was in '92 because I was like 20 then. So okay. I voted for Clinton.
Okay.
Big shock.
surprise.
Yeah. So back in college, I hated Bush. And now he seems fine.
Because
things have gotten so much more insane in the 20 years since.
It's just like, it's just insane, like how, like, somebody, because, like, people were also bringing up online, like, well, Bush also did this and this, and, you know, the AIDS and war, he's a warmonger, and, like, they're bringing up all these terrible things, but, like, compared to what we're at now, he seemed like an okay guy, and people are sort of more okay with him, even though he did all these
horrible
things.
just because the needle has slid so far over.
It has.
I'll tell you a weird story. I moderate on the Facebook page for Back Issue, the comics magazine I write for, and one of the rules, quote unquote rules, I have is like, let's not get into real world politics. Because it pretty much always leads to fights. And especially when you're arguing with strangers online, nobody ever wants to back down and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And somebody posted that there was a nice story from Sarah Douglas, who played the Phantom Zone villain Ursa in Superman 2.
Oh, nice.
And apparently the cast of Superman 2 went to the White House in, like, when the movie came out in 80, and this was when Bush was vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Douglas didn't have her ID on her, so she couldn't get in.
Right.
And Bush apparently gave her a CIA ID so she wouldn't be stopped by anybody.
Whoa.
He was like, just hang on to this and you'll be good. And she was talking about how it was very, very nice of him, and it was really cool. And it was just a nice story. And somebody, like, put up a link to that story. And then, of course, like, six comments in, we're getting like, oh, but he did this and blah, 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 blah. And somebody was like, yeah, but he, you know, he ignored AIDS and
yeah. I mean, I don't want to make light of that. It's true, but.
And it's like, I get that, but I was like, dude, that's totally off topic for this page. So
yeah, I mean,
we're just shutting down the comments on this already because I don't want to go and look at this damn thread all damn day.
I mean, it's just the internet. People just love to be contrarian.
Yeah,
and it's like anytime you put up something, people are very quick to say, "Yeah, but he also blah blah blah," or also like you know, if you say something like, you know, if you wear like an "I love New York" t-shirt, people are like, well, what about L.A. or
what about the other cities?
Yeah, what about the other cities?
What about the Fresno?
All cities matter.
That's right. So it just gets very exhausting very quickly.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I literally saw a headline. I didn't look at this story, but it was like, "Let's not mourn Bush on World AIDS Day," and I was like, "Well, really, he can't he." The man couldn't help the day he died.
Yeah.
You know? It's like
he planned it all too perfectly.
We are not gonna like universally decide we're not gonna say good things about George Bush the day after he died.
Yeah, like he didn't, I'm sure he
because
didn't,
it happened to be World AIDS Day and his record in that area was not great.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't say in his final moments like, and just to stick it to them a little bit tougher, I'm gonna die on World AIDS Day.
I know. Actually I read that like supposedly his last words were to his son, George W. Bush, and it was just like, "I love you, son."
Whoa. Oh,
and yeah. And
yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful moment no matter.
You can't read that without being like a little, oh. So, yeah. You know, let the family mourn for crying out
loud. Yeah, let's not just jump on our soapboxes and pulpits.
I know. Yeah, give it a rest for like a day or two.
Yeah, just.
And then you can talk about what a. Whatever he was,
exactly. Just let it simmer for a bit.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not even going to post about this because I don't want to start it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I did see people on Facebook like, you know, saying what we said before, like but he also did these terrible things. And
yeah, I was just like, I have nothing in particular to say about it.
Yeah, you know,
the man was 94, and
yeah, that's what. Yeah,
that's what happens.
Yeah, that's what you do. What happens when you're 94. You die.
Mm-hmm.
I sound a little macabre.
But. It did.
I was trying to quote old school, when Blue died. Uh-huh. Like, that's what old people do. They die. And then the people were looking at him like, oh,
we sound almost blasé now, but we're not trying to be. So
you're old, you die. Jesus. What? Oh, should I not? Oh, the mic's on.
Well, this is, this segment went well. So next sketch was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Claire Foy as Charlie Bucket, and we had the four grandparents all in one bed together.
Yeah,
and Grandpa George and Grandma Georgina, they start getting it on.
Yes,
and
old people boning.
Yeah.
Always funny.
That was basically the sketch.
Yeah, very much. And I remember talking about somebody with this we were talking about like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I think, and like they were saying this kind of the same thing. They had it was just a weird story because all the grandparents slept in the same bed because that's what they could afford, and they found it weird. It's like, what? They're all in the same bed and they haven't left the bed in like ages. That's weird. Mm-hmm. So I guess they just took it to the obvious conclusion of what happens when one of the couples in that bed want to.
Get romantic.
Feel randy. Yeah. And so, then they just take it to the umpteenth degree where it's just like tons of over the top moaning and the bed is just
the bed's blocking. Knocking against the wall.
Yeah. There were a couple of times where I was worried about Heidi and I think Heidi
and Pete Davidson.
Yeah. Because like their head.
And the other grandparents.
It seemed like their head was hitting right against that headboard. Like,
yeah.
They were just like wham, wham, wham.
And we saw the cast breaking a little bit. We saw Kate McKinnon as the mother breaking a bit.
Yeah, and that's because you rarely see Kate break. So when
no,
Kate breaks,
yeah, she usually keeps it together. And I didn't quite see why everybody was breaking. Maybe they were seeing things that we weren't seeing on camera.
Possibly.
Or something. I don't know.
Or maybe just old people boning is hilarious.
Maybe. I don't know. It's
making this moaning noise is like, oh!
It seemed to be amusing the cast more than it was amusing the cast more than me, personally, but
yeah,
it was...
And at the end, of course, it was brought to you by Cialis.
Yeah, brought to you by Cialis, which I thought was a decent enough punchline.
Yeah,
I kind of liked that.
Yeah,
so I wasn't too nuts about the sketch, but the punchline was pretty good.
There you go. So if you like old people
boning
and in the sensual caress, then
old
like
people boning.
Get it?
Old people boning.
It writes itself.
Old people boning. Old people boning.
Oh, boy. All right, I'm sure somebody's disgusted by that. But
old people boning.
Old people boning.
So next we had...
the Home Shopping Network.
Home Shopping Network. We had Cicely Strong on there. She was a Home Shopping Network fangirl. Tamara Van Burke. Mm. She brought her teeny adorables on the show. Or, well, she was planning to.
Uh-huh.
And then it turns out she left them in the Uber.
Right.
Wah, wah.
And then it was just her cursing herself on...
Cursing herself
like,
and...
Like, I'm such an idiot!
Yeah, quite unusually. The one I wrote down was, eat my ass to hell. Which, you know...
no one ever says that anymore.
We had Cecily Strong on national television saying, eat my ass to hell. So... Yeah.
Shining moment.
Yeah. And then Adi Bryant comes on. She was Cicely's mother.
Right.
And
in a wheelchair, and she just like chastised her daughter on the air.
And then at the end, she has her big adorable dolls right. that she's brought with her, and she hasn't forgotten in the
Yeah. Interview. It was a cute little sketch. It
was a weird one, I thought.
It was an odd one, yeah. But I think they were able to pull it off. It's like, you know, eat my ass to hell. How do you not laugh at that?
The swearing at herself was amusing. It was just because it was so unusual. I wish I'd written down a few more of those, but yeah, the one that really stuck out to me was eat my ass to hell.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, just put a bullet in my head.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Next we had there was a Staten Island talk show, Good Morning Guma.
Guma. Guma.
Which was right. These mob mistresses.
Yes. As soon as I saw the Staten Island, it was on Staten Island cable, I was like, oh, they're going to do some Italian stereotype. Sure enough, they did.
It kind of reminded me of the old thing that Maya Rudolph and Amy Poehler used to do.
Me Bronx too. Beat. I wrote that down. Bronx Beat.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like instead of two, you know, Italian mothers.
Mm-hmm. They were mob mistresses.
Mob mistresses.
And it was all about how... Like the lengths that they go to have their relationships kept secret. Like they have apartment rings, like rings they could only wear in the apartment.
Right. And there was even a segment that was like straight out of Goodfellas where the angry wife was like ringing the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you have a whore living in your apartment.
Right, right.
Janet Rossi or whatnot.
And Pete Davidson comes by as
from Staten Island and he comes like, oh, what? Like, you got warm orange juice. Like it was just lots of over the top Italian stereotypes.
This one didn't do much for me personally. It was right.
There was one line I think Kate McKinnon said where like it's like, oh, you know, he loves you because you know, something like, but it was like the punchline was getting pulverized from the back, and I just thought that was funny way of saying butt sex. Getting pulverized from the back.
Eating my ass to hell.
That's right. Because face-to-face sex, that's for the wives.
Basically, oh, yes. Yes, I remember that line. That was a good line.
That's for face-to-face.
Oh, yeah. And they're basically bemoaning that because it's December now, they're not really seeing the men in their lives because...
It's for the wives.
For the wives. December's for the wives.
Yeah. I mean, it's got something. I mean, I have a feeling they might try to bring this back.
You think?
I feel like they might. Like it
just felt a little too close to Bronx Beat for me.
It did, but I don't know. I'm putting this in the prediction hat. Like I feel like they're gonna try to bring it back.
We have a prediction hat?
It's around.
Okay.
I feel like they're gonna try to bring it back at some point.
I just can't believe this is how I found out that we have a prediction hat.
I thought I told you about the prediction hat, but...
No, yeah. This is the first I'm hearing about our prediction hat.
Oh, this is awkward.
Wow.
It's here.
Okay.
Right? So now we have it, now you know.
All right.
So whenever,
that's what that hat in the corner is, filled with all those papers and things?
Yeah, what'd you think it was?
I thought it was just a hat in the corner filled with papers and things.
It was just garbage? Just lying around? Like
I refuse? Thought we didn't have a trash can.
That's where I put my predictions. The, you know, elections and SNL sketches.
What other things have you predicted?
I can't say or they won't come true.
Okay.
It's like a wishing well.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So are we going to, like, pull things out of the prediction hat later? And
at some point, yes.
Like, when we know whether or not you were correct?
You know, I like to...
Can I put things in the prediction hat?
Sure, if you want. The prediction hat is for all. It's for all.
Well, why didn't you tell me about it? I feel very betrayed.
I texted you this. Check your phone. Check your cricket.
I have you on ignore. I mean, maybe...
See, there you go.
Maybe that was bad. Maybe
if
that
you
was
unblock
bad
me, then you'll know about the prediction hat.
That sounds like a radical step.
Fine.
I don't enjoy associating with you very much.
Wow. This is how I find out about this?
Well, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the final episode of the SNL Nerds podcast.
But first, we're going to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
We're going to wrap it up. Last thing on the show is the
holiday
message from the women of SNL.
Yeah.
With they're singing the Mariah Carey song "I Don't Need a Lot for Christmas,"
right?
And it's all about the Mueller investigation.
Yes, all they want is Robert Mueller to come through.
They just want this thing to come to an end.
Yes,
they were like, we don't necessarily need impeachment. We just indicting one of the kids would be fine.
Yes,
just
let's find out he kidnapped JonBenet.
Yes,
at some point. Like, let's just
we want this over by Christmas.
Yeah, because I think we're all at that point where, like, you know, we're all kind of hanging our hopes on Mueller to come through with something.
It's like we were saying at the beginning of the show, like, things are just so insane nowadays. Yeah. and the new developments come so fast and furious, it seems, but this thing still seems to drag on forever, and
it does.
You just want it to come to an end already.
Like, please,
just some sort of resolution.
Yeah,
you know?
Just please put this world back in some type of normality that we can just kind of...
Yeah, because it's coming up on Trump's been in office for like 2 years. It feels like 200.
We're at the halfway mark.
Yeah, I mean, good God.
I really can't... Like, I think we've all aged, like, exponentially throughout this whole thing.
No, my beard is mostly gray now.
Yeah, I'm signing up for AARP at this point. Like, my knees hurt. I'm getting older by the minute.
Yeah. It's nuts. We're in an insane world, and I would like to think we're going to reach a time where we look back at this and be like, oh yeah, that was nuts. That was insane. But thank God it all worked out in the end. But
yes.
I mean, who knows? I mean, that's the nerve-wracking thing, is we don't know how this is going to end,
yes,
or when it's going to end. Or...
Which is why they sang for Mueller to, like, just wrap it up.
I thought this was pretty good. I thought it was all right. I thought it was hurt a little bit by the fact that most of them aren't very good singers.
Yeah, that's true. That's why, like, I know Melissa Villaseñor, she can actually sing. Like, I kind of wanted her to be more...
She wasn't one of the first four. It started out, it was Cecily,
yeah,
Kate... Leslie Jones,
yeah,
and who was the fourth one?
Was
that 80?
Was it 80?
Bryant,
I believe it was 80.
Think,
yeah, Kate can sing okay.
Yeah. I just didn't think they were harmonizing all that great. I thought it would work better if they were stronger singers.
Right. Absolutely. I hear what you're saying.
I mean, of course, the main thing is the humor, not the singing. But
But I think they pulled it off okay.
Yeah. And then Cecily has like a bit of a breakdown towards the end. She's talking about how she's like wants to be on more anxiety medication, but she's already at the maximum amount of anxiety medication. And she did that really well. I mean, Cecily Strong, always solid.
That's right. And her last name is not just a...
Exactly. It's a self-descriptive last name.
It's not just a clever play on words.
That's right.
It's a movement.
we are pro Cecily here,
yes,
at the SNL Nerds podcast. I think our record bears this out.
Yes, Team Cecily.
Yes,
we're getting T-shirts made.
We're getting T-shirts. We're waving our little Cecily Strong flags.
Yes,
we like it. I like this. I thought it ended the show on a nice note.
Yeah, not bad. I thought this show was okay. Claire Foy, she seemed to be all right. She seemed to be game for everything.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, in my notes, I thought it was like kind of a mediocre show.
Yeah, okay.
After we've gone through it, I'm like, okay, well, that wasn't bad. That was okay. I'm a little more favorably inclined to this episode now.
Yeah, I definitely think the war.
That was
the
standout. That was the total standout for me.
Yeah,
on this episode, I thought most of the rest could have been better. Claire Foy, she didn't make too much of an impression as a host to me. I thought she's good with accents and voices, but she didn't do much that like really really blew me away.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, she was okay. Like, you know, she came in, she was game, she was good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was all right. And Anderson .Paak, I just might be a fan after hearing his two songs.
All right.
So I might give Anderson .Paak a bit of a listen.
All right, that's good.
That's right, Anderson .Paak, you made an impression on me.
Boom.
That's right.
New fan.
Look forward to that Patterson bump.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. He's going to follow you on Twitter and stuff.
Oh, dude, it's a big thing. Big things are coming for you, Van.
If you're on Twitter, he's going to like your Facebook page.
That's right. Oh, you are welcome, Innocent Bag.
Speaking of that, we have a Facebook page.
We do.
We have an SL Nerds Facebook page. I don't know if we mentioned that last week.
We probably didn't, but we are now.
We are now. So check us out
on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook. You know, if you want to ask us questions or start a discussion on there, we would be happy to participate in that.
Happy to oblige.
Yeah, we try to post on there a few times a week to keep the buzz going.
That's right. Keep this beautiful freight train of awesome on the tracks.
Yes.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know. You were like searching for a word, and I was like, where is this going to go?
Yeah, no, I think I hit it.
Freight train of awesome on the tracks.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that.
We're a freight train of awesome.
Yes. That's right. That was the original name for this podcast.
Freight train of awesome. That's our band. That's our side project.
That's right.
That's
I play the bass. John's on the guitar.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're going to have Anderson Pack as our drummer.
That's right. He can play drums, as you've seen. He'll be up front.
That's right. That's right. So you can check us out.
Yes, check us out there. Leave us reviews and rate us on iTunes. Stitcher,
we could use some more iTunes reviews. We've still got like three reviews.
And we're happy
I think only one of them was trolling us. Yes. So that's
pretty good.
So two thirds seem to be sincere.
We're knocking out the ballpark.
That's right, and you know we're not picky, but please, yeah, listen to us on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes,
right.
Rate us on iTunes,
yes.
Review us,
because
all that helps our algorithms and helps boost the show and helps boost the profile.
Yeah,
and
now you could donate to the Patreon too.
If you go to non-productive.com,
yes,
you can find the Patreon there. And you can indicate you can click as to which non-productive show you like.
Yeah, and if you like us, we'll say your name.
That's right.
All through the airwaves here,
like this bit right now, where we're just incoherently babbling. We could be talking about you.
That's right. You can hear our names come out of your mouth rather than the monotonous drivel that's coming out right now,
or your name come out of our mouths.
What'd I say?
You said our names come out of your mouths.
Yes,
which will probably happen too. But
yes, you'll be so entranced by our
freight train of awesome.
With your name coming out of our mouths, you will in turn say our names out of your mouth.
We really should have taken our medication.
We really should.
Recording this episode.
Yeah,
we apologize.
We really should have gotten more sleep.
We are on the maximum amount of anxiety medication right now. Much like
back.
Cecily Strong.
I see what you did there.
In her little song. But,
yes. I see what you did there. Nice.
Well, what else should we mention? We should mention we're on the Twitter and the Instagram.
Exactly. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible. Check out my website, darrencredible.com, D-A-R-I-N Credible. And I got a show coming up. I think it'll be like the last show for the year I'm going to do. That's right. So come out and watch me do these old jokes again for the last time this year until next year. I'll be at the Brown Bear Pub in West Orange, New Jersey.
Nice.
On Wednesday, December 5th.
That is a nice venue.
Yes,
I always enjoy going to the Brown Bear
Pub. It's a great, awesome venue, great people there, and check me out there.
What was the date on that again?
Wednesday, December 5th, this coming Wednesday.
I am going to have to try and make that.
Ooh.
I may have to come and hang out and cheer on my buddy.
Hot diggity dog. So you'll get to see both of us if you come out.
That's right.
Wednesday, December 5th, Brown Bear Pub in West Orange, New Jersey.
That's right, and I'll be sitting there, and I'll be drinking a beer or something. We can have awkward hellos.
Yeah. Yes.
And you could be like, hey, I've heard your podcast. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah, yes.
And then I'll be at a loss for words.
And just awkward pause and stare.
Yeah. So
come out for that.
Yeah,
come
absolutely.
Come out and hobnob with the upper elite.
Absolutely. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Trumbull Comic. I've got a show coming up next Sunday, the 9th, at Tierney's in Montclair.
Oh!
And it's an interesting show. All the comics on there are also artists.
Ooh.
And we're going to be selling prints of our work. I think some people might be selling original art, too. I know a few of the other comics on there. Natty Bumper Car,
good friend of the podcast,
friend of the show. Check him out on the Bumper podcast.
Yes,
and also on the Dumb Fellas podcast.
Both awesome podcasts.
Yes, and he's always entertaining, and he's a talented artist as well.
He's a delight and a treat.
Yes. So,
and a delightful treat.
That's right. So we will be there on Sunday, December 9th at Tierney's.
In Montclair.
In Montclair.
Beautiful Montclair.
And I'm also going to plug something else, something non-comedy related.
I mentioned
earlier, I write for that magazine back issue from Tomorrow's Publishing. Okay. And I had stuff in two recent issues. Issue 108, I wrote a big article about Aquaman.
Ooh.
Thousands of words about Aquaman, tracking him all through the 90s where he loses his hand and all that stuff.
He does?
Oh, he does. He lost his hand. He got a harpoon on his
like
hand.
Skywalker? So he turned it like...
Kind of. It was eaten by piranha.
Good grave. Wait, but he's Aquaman. He's supposed to be able to control that.
That was the twist. That was that he couldn't command the piranha. The piranha were too simple-minded to listen to him, and it was a thing.
Holy hell.
It was a thing. Hey. And then issue 109, it was all about Superman the movie, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, and I wrote a nice article about Superman the movie's influence on the comic books.
You've got me, but and who's got you?
Yeah, that's right. That's sure. right. So check those out. Go to tomorrowspublishing.com, tomorrowspublishing.com, and you can check those out. Back issue magazine. So.
Okay. There you go. So that's about it,
is
right?
Is that about it?
I would say that's about it. Well, let's next episode we got coming
yes,
up.
Oh, yes. Yes, next episode we should talk about SNL threw a curveball at us this week.
They told us who they were going to do for the next three shows.
Well, yeah, I mean they do that a lot. Next week, next Saturday, it's going to be Jason Momoa, Aquaman his own self, hosting, and Mumford and Sons returning as a musical guest.
Right. Oh, and there was that one joke online where it was put by Scott Brennan where he said, "Oh, I could see them doing a sketch where it's since it's Jason Momoa and Mumford and Sons, there'll be a sketch where it's Mumford and Sons." Or Momoa first.
Wasn't it Momoa and Sons?
Yeah, something like that. Like a Jason Momoa.
Oh, we're mangling Scott's joke.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Scott. I thought it was Moa Mumford and Sons.
I think you're right. I think you're Moa Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, and I was like, that's punny enough to actually be.
I could see that as a sketch.
I could see that happening.
I could totally see that as a sketch.
So I'm putting that in the hat too, as well. Like
hat.
In the prediction. If you see a Momoa and Sons sketch, we call it.
What kind of hat is the prediction hat?
It's a beautiful top hat.
Oh.
Of suede.
Very deep.
Yes, with the feather in its cap.
Ooh, festive.
I call it macaroni.
Wow. Okay.
I don't even know where that comes
from. Little Yankee Doodle callback for you, ladies and gents.
That's right.
But SNL is also, they threw a curveball at us because they're having, they just did the Thanksgiving special last week.
Right.
We did that last week when SNL was off. And this Tuesday, they're having a Christmas special.
What?
I know. I know. So, so yeah, we discussed what we're going to do with that because I mean we have the new episode of SNL, the Saturday show, but we also have this Christmas compilation thing. So what the heck are we going to do?
I mean, Chihuahua,
it was a dilemma. We're grabbing the bull by the horns of the dilemma.
This is a pickle.
And so I think what we're going to do we're going to talk about the Christmas show, but we're going to hold it back for when SNL. Right. Is doing a skip week we'll be around Christmas then anyway.
Right. So.
And we will be probably taking some time off to spend with our family. So yes, I think we're gonna tape that and bank that.
Yes, it'll be in the vault.
Yes.
Right next to the prediction hat.
That's right.
It'll be in the vault and we're gonna bring it out in time for the holidays.
So
or after the holidays.
So around the holidays. Record the Christmas show on Tuesday, but save it on the DVR.
We're gonna save it.
And hold off on watching it.
Hold on for one more day.
That's right. And we're going to watch it a little later in December when we're like a little closer to Christmas and it's a little more seasonably appropriate.
Yeah. Right. And you'll be able to open it like a gift on Christmas Day.
That's right.
See, it'll be like that.
And then, you'll be like, I get to listen to a new episode of SNL Nerds.
God bless us, everyone.
Yes. Yes. And Tiny Tim did not die.
He did not, no.
Because he listened to this new episode.
That's right. We bring Tiny Tim back to life.
That's right.
That's right. He's not 94
That's
yet.
That's right. Nope.
No. Bringing it back.
Oh, God. God, we've so gotten past that. No.
We got past it and they bring us right back.
And now I'm depressed again.
Right back in the muck and mire.
Muckenmeyer. That's like Breckenmeyer's brother, right?
Yes. Okay. Muckenmeyer?
Muckenmeyer.
I like that.
Muckenmeyer. He's not an actor. He just does mud wrestling. It's
Give it up for Muckenmeyer.
Muckenmeyer.
Here at the Secaucus Amphitheater. I don't know.
All right. Well, we've once again reached the point where we're diminishing returns and we're just babbling incoherently into the microphone.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to just see ourselves out.
So, all right. So, we'll see you next week, guys. Take care.
Take care. Brush your hair.
Brush your hair and don't do anything too foolish.
Right.
Until we come back. We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.